Yeah, Donna Lee, that was pretty good. How many of you were at the breakfast that we had this morning? I don't eat like that before service on Sundays, so I'm experiencing some indigestion here, and hopefully the mic won't pick things up. But all for the glory of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see your truth. Father, if it's not from your word, let it fall to the side. We are dependent on you for your work, to do your work in our hearts and in our minds. And so we ask, please, please change us. For your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I love what the two men, probably two angels, said to the women who came to the tomb. They see the stone rolled away, exposing the tomb entrance, and they're probably wondering, who would do such a thing to a tomb? Open it up like this. And they go inside the tomb, and Jesus' dead body that they saw 2 days earlier is not there. Who would do such a thing? Then these angels appear, and the women are frightened, of course, because these angels are dazzling like lightning, so they're scared and they bow to the ground. Then the angels say in verses 5 to 6, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day arise?" The angels remind the women that Jesus told them he would be crucified, which they witnessed, and that he would rise on the third day. And that's what's happened. The tomb they saw Jesus' lifeless body laid into is now empty because he is risen. A week earlier, just before Jesus and his followers got into Jerusalem, he told them that this is what would happen. So why are they in a cemetery amongst the bones and the graves looking for Jesus' dead body, coming to doctor up his dead body with spices, doing what they do to dead bodies? It's like the angels are saying, he did what he said he would do. He has arisen. He is alive. The resurrection happened. He was dead, but is no longer dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? What the angels said lines up with what Acts 2 verse 24 says. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. In John 10 verse 17 to 18, Jesus said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." Death couldn't hold him. Death did not have power over him. Jesus is the only one who ever submitted to death. Everyone else is taken by death. He laid his life down. That was done according to his authority, to his power. And he can and did take his life up again, not staying dead, but rising from the dead when he had accomplished the full receiving of punishment. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has arisen. Remember how he told you? These women didn't expect the resurrection. They expected a dead Jesus. Jesus being alive was inconceivable to them and to the disciples. That's why none of them were even at the tomb. So the angels confront and correct them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living Jesus in a cemetery? Why are you expecting the resurrection and life to be dead? Why are you treating Jesus Christ as though he is dead? Why are you living as though the Messiah is dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I wonder if we as believers, those of us who know the gospel of Jesus Christ, who know that we are born sinners and we are separated from the Lord, and we can't do anything about that, we can't remove our own sin, but we believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his sacrifice paid for the penalty that our sins deserved. He took that punishment. He lived the life we were supposed to live. He took the punishment that we deserved. And when we repent and put our faith and trust in him, that is applied to us. Forgiveness applied to us. His righteousness applied to us. So those of us who believe the true gospel message of Jesus Christ, I wonder if we are often found living as though Jesus is dead. I wonder if we functionally live as though the resurrection didn't happen. Sure, we are quick to say that we have faith in God, but we live as though our faith is dead. We expect nothing from God through Jesus Christ. He hardly comes up in our lives. We just coast through our week with him as a memory that pops up every once in a while. In our Sunday morning sermon series, we've been going through the book of James, where we are continuously confronted with the reality of living out a life altering faith in the only God. Those saved by Jesus live for Jesus, are centered on God. And in the context of the book of James, I wonder if we live like people who expect nothing from God. We don't expect a living, vibrant, life-impacting faith in the living Savior. We live as though Jesus is dead, and therefore we live for ourselves. Our lives are centered on ourselves. We go to the cemetery looking for a dead Savior, remembering him, feeling sentimental, but not anticipating a daily life lived with and for the living Savior. Here's what I mean. Let me see if I can explain this using examples from the book of James that we've been going through. Are we expecting a life with no joy? It's just going to be trial after trial, grinding through these trials with no joy. Just hard and depressing lives. Do we expect that nothing good can and will come from any of it? We will just get beat up and beat up and beat up. No joy, just a lifeless existence. Is that what we expect? Or do we expect the Holy Spirit to take those trials and turn them into times of strengthening our faith in the Lord, bringing joy to us knowing that he's got us, he's got this trial, he's in control, and he's going to use this trial to change us into thinking and believing and living that is more like the living Jesus Christ? Are we expecting to be changed into being more like Jesus because we are found in the living Jesus? Are we expecting life in the living Jesus? Or what about, are we expecting to just bounce through this short life, not knowing what to do, receiving no wisdom on how to process things, how to live, just reacting to whatever comes our way? Is that what we expect? Or are we expecting a response of yes to our request for wisdom from the Lord? and believe that we have received wisdom on how to live and what to do? Do we expect to be given wisdom because the living Jesus has made us a child of God? Are we expecting God to do what he said because we are saved by the living Jesus? What about temptations? Do we just expect temptation to swell up in us and that we will probably fall for those temptations over and over and over again? Do we expect to live defeated by temptations, that certain sins will always be masters over us? Have we come to expect that? Or do we expect those evil desires in us that create temptations and give birth to sin, do we expect them to die and that we can and will live victorious lives over sin because the living Jesus has made us born again? Do we expect victory because we belong to the living Savior? Do we just expect to coast along with the world, living like the world does, not expecting to be able to live like the Bible calls us to live? Others might be able to live like that, but not you. Is that what you have come to expect? Kind of a dead faith? Or do you expect to hear God's word, for God's word to increase your faith in him, and you act on your faith by living for him? Do you expect to live a radical God-glorifying life no matter what the world thinks of you? Because of your love for the Lord, and you're motivated by his love for you and are empowered by his power. Do you expect this because your sins have been removed by the victorious living Savior, Jesus Christ? What about our church? Do you expect our church to just go through the motions of a Sunday morning, being nice, everyone minding their own business, but playing favorites, really liking and respecting those who are wealthy and successful and well put together? Do you expect us to look like all the other social gatherings and clubs that are out there? Or do you expect our church to reflect God's word, where bullies are not allowed, where favoritism is not allowed, where how people are treated is not based on how they look or on their wealth? Do you expect us to be able to love each other and reflect the Bible in how we love each other? Do you expect this because we have been saved by the living Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you expect something different because the living Savior has an effect on us? How about our tongues? Do you expect yourself and other Christians to talk the same way as everyone else? Same jokes, same language, same blurting out things, same bragging, just sharing what's on your heart, but it's really gossip. Making little cutting remarks to people, all the while claiming to be so different from everybody else. Do you expect that of yourself and of others, that dead, lifeless talk? Or do you expect to have control over your tongue, to build people up, to tell the truth, to speak God's word, to be different than the world with how you talk? Do you expect this because you belong to Jesus Christ, the living Savior? What do you expect? Are you expecting a dead Jesus and you living in a dead way, just coasting along? Or are you expecting life with the living Jesus Christ? What are you expecting? A new life in Christ that is empowered by the living God, or going through life with your head down in defeat? Do you expect the joy of the Lord overflowing no matter the circumstances, seeing the world from the perspective of your heavenly Father who saved you from your sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Is your life this cemetery of death, talking about a dead Savior, living as though your Savior is dead and powerless? Or are you spiritually alive, rejoicing that you are forgiven and made righteous by the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you know that you don't get involved in anything alone because God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you, always with you, because the living Savior, Jesus Christ, died and rose again? Jesus is alive, which guarantees that you are alive in Him, a new creation. God's attention and love aimed at you. The Holy Spirit transforming you into being less focused and centered on yourself and focused on Jesus, making you more like Him. Church, those that are alive in Christ, stop living your life expecting Jesus to be dead, expecting nothing from the living Savior. God set you free from bondage to sin. He united you to the living Savior, Jesus Christ. When God sees you, He sees you in Jesus, with Jesus, through Jesus. He is our mediator, which means He's alive and active, working on our behalf before the Father. Death and the devil have no claim or authority over Him. All authority is under His feet. He bought you with His blood. You belong to Him. He has given you life in abundance, which we will taste here on earth a little and full on be experienced with Him in eternity. How are you living? What are you expecting? The dead Savior or the living Savior? There's two places, two areas that I often expect nothing from in Jesus, where I treat Him like He's dead. One is when trials flare up, when I get into tough situations that I would want them to change. I want them to, Lord, make this different. Change this dynamic that's going on here. But inside I'm really like, it's just going to keep going the same way. Bad things are just going to keep coming, and it's just, I just got to buckle down and storm through this because nothing good's going to come out of this, and it's just going to suck. This is what I do. I guarantee you I'm not different from you guys. So I get into that kind of trial, and I'm just like, nothing can be done here. Basically going, God can't do a single thing here. It's done. Just give up. Just give up. And the other area is lost friends, praying for lost friends. There's these friends that I keep on praying for, and I'm seeing no movement toward the Lord in them. And I'm like, what's the use? You know, maybe they're just supposed to go to hell and just leave it alone and be done. God doesn't want to save them, or He's not going to do anything in that situation anyway, so just, whatever. Acting like the Savior Jesus Christ is dead, that He's irrelevant, just push Him aside and get on with real life. Get on with real life, Edgar. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Why are you living as though Jesus is dead? Why don't you believe that God is going to do what He says He is going to do in the Bible? Why are you expecting nothing from the Lord in your life? Church, we are saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His finished work on the cross. It's finished. We know that it's finished because He rose from the dead. He completed what He set out to do. He completed it. He took the full wrath of the Father on Himself that our sins deserved. He took our place. We are God's children, saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God the Son. So expect the Holy Spirit to be active in your life because you have been saved by the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Expect the Lord to do what he said he's going to do in his word. Pray because he calls us to pray. See your identity resting solely in the Lord through Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's who the Lord says we are. He is alive and active. He is saving people. He is drawing people to himself. He is involved in our lives, changing things. Don't give in to this thinking that he is uninvolved, he is not around, he is dead, he is inactive. Don't give in to that. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is a living Savior, actively saving people, actively glorifying the Lord. And the Lord is active in our lives through the Holy Spirit because we have been brought to him through the life, death, and resurrection of the living Savior. We are alive, and so is our Savior. We are alive because our Savior is alive. Now, church, live. Live your life for the Lord. Go and make a big deal out of him in this world that hates him, hates the Bible, hates the church, hates you. Go and make a big deal out of God, our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Make a big deal out of him. Glorify him. Show the world that he is worth everything that you have. Be embarrassed for him. Who cares? Look dumb for him. Who cares? This world is leading everybody to hell, and we have the message of the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Go give it. Go give it. Go live your life making a big deal out of the risen Savior. He's worth it. Do you believe he's alive? Yeah. Then go, 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 go and enjoy life in abundance, living for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is what we want. We don't want to just be Christians inside this building. We don't want to be ramped up just inside this building. We want to, in our lives, tomorrow morning, whatever we get involved in, our work week, school, retirement, whatever we're doing, Lord, we want to live. We want to live for you. You are alive and well and active and powerful. And we want to expect your work in our lives. We want to expect your work in those that are around us in this world. Father, forgive us for how little faith we have, but thank you for that faith because it's the faith the size of a mustard seed that does amazing things, that brings, that stirs up salvation inside of us. Lord, you have saved us, so help us. Father, empower us, motivate us to get out there and give the message and to truly live for you. Oh, Lord, our hope is in you. We don't have what it takes. We need you to bend our wills so that our wills line up with your will. Oh, Father, please continue to do this work in us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. 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 We are going to celebrate communion right now.